Well, I want you to know that according to the service schedule that's here on the pulpit, I have 45 minutes. But I don't plan on taking that long today, because I know that this message is one that a lot of it speaks for itself. If you go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 24. And before I begin, I'm Ken, one of the pastors here. And Pastor Jerry is enjoying some time away. And I have the honor and privilege today to bring this message. So, again, Proverbs 24. And the title for today's message, following with our battle drills, is battle drill number 34. It is building up the heart and mind. And so, Pastor Jerry last week shared about learning resilience, and that it's more than just being tough and having thick skin. It's learning from the examples that Paul had in his life and his skills. Today, I would like to do a follow-up on that thought and take us through some more fundamentals that this resilience comes out of, and that is building up the heart and mind. So if you've turned to Proverbs 24, we'll be reading verses 3 through 5 and then 10 and 12. By wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. If you are slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. Deliver those who are being taken away to death and those who are staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back. If you say, "See, we did not know this," does he not consider it who weighs the heart? And does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to man according to his work? Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your word today, for we know that it is presented so that we can hear it and then apply it to our own lives. But Lord, it's not just so we can take special verses to make it to say what we want it to say, but it is allowing the Holy Spirit to speak in and through these words to challenge our hearts and help us to become the men and women of God that you desire us to be. And for that today, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, brother. So first of all, it starts with the heart. For the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. You know me, I love wordplay. And if you look at what this is really speaking to us about, is it's a matter of integrity. Look at King David. It is said of him in Psalm 78, verse 72, that he shepherded them with integrity. With skillful hands, he led them. And then his son Solomon wrote in Proverbs 4:23, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the spring of life." Now we know that physically, the heart is the source of life. Because if it ain't beating, you ain't living. It pumps the blood. It keeps things going. But spiritually, it is the springs, plural, of life. Because out of it flows love and words of encouragement and blessings. It is a source of direction, and it sets the stage for all of our choices, our attitudes, and our behaviors. So, when it comes to the heart, you have to know the field manual that he is the one who weighs the heart. It's not me. It's not a list of rules. It is God who does it. Because if you look at Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, it shows you that it starts at the heart. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And we also know that it is God who is the one who makes the call. You know, so many times we forget that when we come to the cross and we kneel and we confess our sins and surrender our hearts to the Lord, that we are no longer the king of the throne of our own hearts. We've taken ourselves off and placed God there, or at least we should have. So when you see that bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot, watch out. He better not be the co-pilot. He better be the one driving it. Plain and simple. So if you look at 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the... First Thessalonians 2:4. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as to pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. So many times we worry about, well, what are people going to think? And I'm not saying we go willy-nilly on things and get crazy. But I am saying that if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart to tell you to say something, then y'all better say it. Plain and simple. But always speak the truth how? In love. I'm not saying go around thump people over the head with the Bible, even though some people need something to get their attention. But I am saying that as you grow in those conversations, allow the Holy Spirit to be working in and through your heart, then it is God who will always weigh those words before you say them. And God uses his word to measure us. In Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joint and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I didn't mean to do that? Yeah, you did. I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, you did. You were just being mean. God's word shows us that those are the things that we have to be careful of. Because we can say that we didn't mean it, but God knows the intent of the heart. And we know that we have been entrusted to share that message. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing to men, but God who examines the heart. I can't say that enough. It is God who is doing that. And we have to understand too that so many times we get disheartened because of what someone says. And we get disjointed because when our heart is out of sync, it messes up the whole alignment. It's like going to the chiropractor. You know, you know there's something not right, but then when you lay on that table and he starts that pop, 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 then he flips you over and he does that thing with your neck and all of a sudden, clunk. And you're going, is he trying to break my neck? Nope. But you hear those pops and it feels so much better when he's done. Well, sometimes that's what God's doing with our hearts. He's doing some manipulation and doing some correction and showing us the things that we need to be doing in the right way. So we have knowing the manual, but we also have to know the importance of training together because it brings unity. There's a song out right now. If you listened to the phone call this morning, it encouraged you to listen to the song Don't Lose Heart by Stephen Curtis Chapman. And due to copyright laws, we're not allowed to show that song during in our services, but I just encourage you to find it on Spotify or Pandora or tell Siri or Alexis, hey, find this song and listen to it, because the chorus of this says, don't lose heart, don't you dare let go. I've been where you are not alone. I know it gets dark. I know it gets hard, but we're going to make it home. So don't lose heart. That's because we're not in this all by ourselves. It is a matter of us coming together with one heart. Did you know that the Bible records the most people fitting inside one Honda? Because it says there were 150 people and they were all in one accord. Dad joke, I had to do it, okay? And it wasn't a clown car, okay? But they were of one heart. And this wasn't the first time. If you look back in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 12, it says the hand of God was also on Judah to give them one heart to do what the king and the princes commanded by the word of the Lord. Do you remember back to the Tower of Babel? Why do you think God came and gave them all the different languages and caused that confusion? It says because they were all of one heart and mind. And there was nothing that they could not do. Wouldn't that be great to be said of us as a church? That we were all of one heart and mind and there was nothing that we could not do through the power of God? Because y'all, we can't do it on our own. Well, I don't like that color. Or I don't like that smell. I don't like pizza, or I don't like chili, or I don't like... We have all these different flavors of things that we like and don't like. But I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about our hearts. And we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. That is that... The two commands all summed up of that takes all the 12 and make it into two. Makes it easy to remember. Because if you look at the early church in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 and 33, it shows you that they had one heart and one mind as a church. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And abundant grace was upon them all. It didn't just say just on those folks who were doing the good things, or just on the apostles who were doing the preaching. The whole church was being blessed by that, because they were in unity with one another. So now we need to also remember to seek the commander's approval, and that is knowing that it's more than just good intentions. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I meant to do that? Or it was, you know, well, you know, it was good intentions. Because it all gets measured back again about having a pure heart. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, but the goal of our instructions is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Let me read that again. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Timothy was Paul's protege, his son in the faith. And he was sharing these things with him because he said, this is the main goal. If you don't hear anything else I'm telling you, this is what you need to remember. And Hebrews 10:22 talks about having a sincere heart. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from evil, from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And the benefit is found in Philippians 4:7. God will guard your heart. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in who? In Christ Jesus. So secondly, when we're talking about the mind, first we were the heart, now it's our mind, because it's more than mind over matter. Remember, it's a matter of the heart, and so now your mind is more than just over that matter. Proverbs 24, verses 3 through 5 says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases in power. So when it comes to our mind, we have to know the field manual by setting our minds. Now, I know many of you are football fans. And what is the important thing when you come up to the line of scrimmage? Once you're set, don't move. Don't even flinch. We were watching a game yesterday that there were several who kept flinching. And those yellow flags coming out. And so many times we have set our minds on things, but then we start thinking, well, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And those what ifs cause us to flinch. But if we bring our focus back to the cross and we set our minds on that, it will give us our proper placement. Romans 8:5 says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So which are you? Flesh or Spirit? Because you can't have both. You have to set your minds on these things. And then in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now, I'm not saying I want you so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. But I am saying that if you're doing that filter of everything through the eyes and the mind of Christ, it will change your perspective on everything. We had during fall break, we went down to visit some friends, and you know, she is a little bit radical in her beliefs. Tina laughs because she had to spend the most time talking with her about it. But she has all these conspiracy theories happening. But then her husband is on the other side of looking at the end time prophecies and all the things that are happening and how they're lining up. And it's like, you need both and. Seeing how those things work out. But I'm here to tell you, folks, if you've read the last chapter, we know who wins. So why are we being distracted by all this other stuff when we should be focused and saying, God, I know this stuff is crazy around me, but I trust you. I set my mind, I set my heart, I set my faith in you and you alone. And we have to do the preparing. I can't do it for you. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And why is that important? Because God, in the end, will evaluate all of us. From Psalm 26:2, he says, examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. So we know what's in the manual and what God's word is telling us about our minds. And so why is it important that we train together? It's simple. We need each other. None of us can do it solo. I know you have the extroverts and you have the introverts. And you know, there's all those things in between too, but yes, there's times I like to be alone even as an extrovert. But there's times where we need to come together like this because we need each other. So, illustration. Things we cannot go without. Air, we can last 3 minutes. Water, 3 days. Food, about 3 weeks. These are the averages. And fellowship, 3 months. Think back to the movie Castaway. And who did Tom Hanks talk to? Wilson. And no, it wasn't Wilson, the guy behind the fence on Tool Time. It was a volleyball. We need to have that human contact. It starts having an impact on our well-being. And human touch inspires positive thinking and expands trust. It reduces social anxiety and stress. It boosts the immune system and lowers blood pressure. If you're having a bad day, you need a hug. It is part of our makeup. In an article that was published in a secular psychological magazine or psychology magazine, the writer stated, it's ironic that during a highly contagious pandemic where our immune systems are being the most stressed, we are being deprived of something, human touch, that is so essential to our body's function. What does the Bible say that we're supposed to do when we greet one another? Hey, Chris, what's it say? A holy kiss. Now, has anybody ever been to Europe? When you're greeted there, they'll shake your hand, but then they'll come up and they do the kiss on some countries, one side, some on both sides. That is their way of greeting. But even with a handshake, a hug, a pat on the back. There's evidence to show how students in school improve with just after making a correct answer that a teacher come by and just a pat on the back. But we're not allowed to touch him anymore. There's these things in our world that are trying to keep us from doing that which is healthy for us. If you look at how the early church started in Acts 2:42, it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Fellowship, food together, and prayer. Now, we got that coming up in a couple weeks. It's awesome autumn time. I know someone said that Jack was probably looking forward to an apple pie. I'm going to break my diet that day, so I'm looking for chocolate. But I know we've got great cooks here, and I've missed that part of our fellowship time. Coming together. I remember when we were down in North Carolina, there was almost a contest to find out who could make the best banana pudding. And Tina's taco salad was always a hit. And then there was that chicken pot pie. Flaky crust. Can you tell I'm hungry? But that was what the church was doing in the early time. Listening to the teachings. They were having food together. And they were praying. And even Paul continues this through the challenge to the Philippians. In Philippians 2:5, it says, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Because we can't do it on our own, we have to be in Christ. That is the only way we'll be able to accomplish this. And not only do we need to come together for the fellowship time, but it is also for the encouragement and accountability. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I have a perfect example of this. When T and I first started working at Grandy Assemblies, Assembly of God down in North Carolina, there were a lot of young couples. And Tina and I always sat, now we only had two sections, so we sat right where Will and Christy are right now. And when I'm sitting in the pew, I have my arm around Tina. Do you know I had some of the guys get mad at me? They said, you're making me look bad. My wife is asking why my arm is not around her. Sorry, not sorry. There was a subtle encouragement and accountability by me demonstrating my love for my wife, but also our partnership there in the church. Thank you, Kevin. And I think if we're all honest, we all need encouragement. And we need each other. I mean, this is not something just in the church either. We have two groups that are called BNI. Do you know what that stands for? Business Network International, right? And what is their whole dynamic? to come together, and they share what each business is doing, and they want other people in that room to know, hey, I've got a good product, and I do good work, and I want you to refer me. So they're being accountable, and they're being encouraging. Because they're going to say, hey, if I hear somebody that needs this job done, I'll refer you first. Growing up, we didn't have, I don't remember that group being around, but in our church, there was Larry, Moe, and Joe. No, not the Three Stooges, but there was Moe Reeder, Joe Jackson, and Larry Durham. And if there was ever a project to be done at the church, those were the three guys. Joe was a mechanic. Moe was just a handyman. He was actually a mailman by trade. And then my dad had his license as an electrician, as a plumber, as in an HVAC. He even taught classes at Ivy Tech. And a little while ago, I had an opportunity to go to Joe's 90th birthday party, and he said, yeah, I remember holding that boiler together with baling wire and duct tape. Sometimes you make do with what you got to do. But it was one of those things of they encouraged each other, and they knew that they were not in this battle alone. We lived 25 minutes from the church. And I remember one Sunday getting a call at 7 o'clock that, Larry, the boiler blew up. So just like we had the water thing happen back here a couple weeks ago, this was the whole basement of the church flooded. So we all put our boots on, we went in there and we had squeegees, and we're all squeegeeing the water towards the sump pump. But Larry, Moe, and Joe were there, and their families. Joe had seven kids. So it made it a lot easier. But still, this was one of the things of the church coming together to encourage each other, because they didn't that next Sunday pull those three guys up and say, we want to thank these three guys, blah, blah, blah. No, because those three guys didn't want the praise of man. Who were they doing it for? God. And that's what we should be doing. So we need to seek the commander's approval by doing the easiest thing, and that is putting God first. Proverbs 24:12 says, if you say, see, we didn't know this, does he not consider it who weighs the heart? Does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to a man according to his work? How many of us are notorious for reading the instructions first? Put your hand up. If you always read the instructions first, you're one of the few. How about hearing the instructions? How good are you at that? Are you really good at hearing the instructions? Harley says she is. So, if we would think about it, there is an illustration of how a teacher gave a test and just said, be sure and read all the instructions before starting the test. Read through all the instructions. And that's all they said. Pass the paper out. I mean, you heard the pencil starting and they were just flying, and there's one student that read through it. Read all the way through, and the very last statement says, once you've completed reading this, sign the paper and turn it in. She's the only one who passed the test. All because we didn't listen. How many times have we missed some of the instructions from the Holy Spirit because we haven't listened? Proverbs 3:6 says that he provides the direction because in all means all, and that's all means, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. So if he's the one making the paths straight, how should we be doing things? And we should be doing everything for his glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. How many of you are eating today? How many of you will have at least one glass of water or a pop or something to drink? How many of you are going to go out of these doors and either go to a store or to a restaurant? So in all those things, whatever you do, how are you supposed to do it? To the glory of God. Colossians 3:17 and verses 23 and 24 also says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So, how do we live on mission with all of these things that we've heard today? Kiss. Keep it simple, silly. Okay? There is a children's song that I grew up with, and I remember having to act it out. And you start off in your seat, and it's, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. And you grow, grow, grow. And you grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. Everybody get up on their tiptoes, as tall as they could get. Then the other verse was, neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you shrink, shrink, shrink. And the idea was to eventually be down on the ground flat. But in a Christian walk, that's not where you want to be, down the ground flat. You want to be growing. So I have given you 21 scriptures this day that I want you to chew on this next week. If you need help remembering, you can either go to the church blog on our church webpage for the message, and if you don't have access to a computer, then you can see me, and I'll be happy to make a copy of this message for you. But I want you to take and reflect on all of these scriptures. So you can take 3 a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner. See, I told you I was going to try to make it simple. Maybe you need some work done on your heart this week. Or maybe you need some renewing of your mind. But remember this. When you read these scriptures, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you how they can apply to your life and how he can use them to encourage someone else this week. Because I'm here to tell you, God is faithful, and he will help you to grow, grow, grow. If you will read your Bible and pray every day. So God, as we close out this time together today, we know this. It was not by chance that we're here today, that you brought us here to hear these words. And we know that we are accountable for them. We can't say, well, I didn't know, I didn't hear it. Well, then we weren't listening. I pray, Lord, that people will be listening to this and that they will do exactly what I encourage them, and that is to take this and apply it to their lives this week, building up their hearts and their minds with these scriptures and allowing the Holy Spirit to pump them up and help them to grow in you. And we give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen.